Today is the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and also of Srila Kadadhar Das Pandit. Or Srila Kadadhar Pandit. So these two personalities are obviously very significant personalities. We will speak mostly about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur today. But a few words about our Gadadhar Pandit. It is stated that Gadadhar Pandit appeared on Amavasya, on the dark moon, on the day of the, or the night of the dark moon. So it is said that that is the case because Gadadhar is a personality who remains obscured in our tradition. So what does that mean? It means that Srila Gadadhar Pandit is understood to be Shakti Tattva. He is understood to be an expansion of Srimati Radharani, right? So within the entire Pancha Tattva. And at the same time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Radha Krishna, Nayanya, is none other than Radha and Krishna. Because when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became inspired to appear in this world and to taste the mellows of love of God, he particularly desired to taste that mood of Srimati Radharani, of that the depth of her love, because she is the deepest of all when it comes to love of God. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, being Krishna, took that golden color. What to do? Try and pet it on the back, the baby is seven. Yeah, because, and I'm so sorry to cause these kind of things, but it's like babies have the powers to make a speaker brain dead. It's like just cotton wool. Yes, so Srila Bhaktivinoda, Srila Gadadhar, Gadadhar Pandit is the expansion of Srimati Radharani. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at the same time, is also appearing in that mood of Radharani. And it is said, it is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu who has taken all the qualities and attributes of Srimati Radharani, leaving very little for Gadadhar Pandit. So Gadadhar Pandit is basically like a shadow. Because all the moods of Radharani are just expressed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Gadadhar Pandit is therefore not revealing anything of these moods and mellows, and just is almost more like Rukmini, has become submissive and just a submissive servant, and not the sometimes rebellious mood of Srimati Radharani. When Krishna told Rukmini that he was not worthy of her, then that she should have married someone else, then Rukmini just became quiet and shocked, right? Radharani would have gone in a state of anger or something and would have maybe not talk to Krishna for a few days. A different mood. Yes. So now, Gadadhar is the faithful servant in the background. And it stays like that. Yes. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was worshipping Gaura Gadadhar in his Swananda Sugada Kunja, in his house in Sarup Ganj. And it is bewildering, in a sense, this Gaura Gadadhar worship. We are very... how does that work? You know, is there a hidden Radha Krishna dynamics going on in the Panchatattva? So, no, this is rejected by our current acharyas. When I speak about the current acharyas, I'm speaking particularly about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, speaking about Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and speaking about Srila Prabhupada. These three acharyas are very much the acharyas of the modern world. They have together brought Krishna consciousness to the world that we live in. The world that has become so complicated, right? Today, I felt a moment of liberation as I stepped out of the house, and as we drove away, and I realized I forgot my phone. and it's like, okay, I guess I'm not going to read anything during this class. What to do? There are so many nice things to read. But then, from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his own words, so many nice things. But there are also many nice things to say, even without reading. Anyway, so Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he explained, he worshipped Gaura Gadadhar. But also understanding that when the Radha and Krishna dynamics between Gaura and Gadadhar become active, that then they transform into Radha Madhava. So, because only there that relationship is active. And otherwise that relationship is simply in a mood of dasya, where in the Panchatattva it is explained the relationships are of service. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu does not enter into different rasas with different devotees, like Madhurya Ras is not being experienced there. It is dasya. And when Madhurya becomes active, then it's Radha Madhava. So we begin by singing our song, our Radha Madhava song. And we sing it every day. But of course, it is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur who gave us that song and who gave us that meditation on Radha Madhava. So in his worship of Gaura Gadadhar, he is also worshipping Radha Madhava. As far as the family lineage of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we see that his maternal family was from a village near Ranagat, which is not far from Mayapur. And how, yes, that village has its own history. There is a place one can visit, there is a house, there are many things there that remind of Bhaktivinod Thakur. There's also a small temple dedicated to Bhaktivinod Thakur. But what happened there is a little intense. So that place, if we look at his life, then just that alone would be like something, because the situation was that Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur, he did stay there for some time in his youth. It was the home of the maternal side of the family. And another lineage is traced back to Orissa, and our Gaudiya Vaishnav Fakir Mohan, who was a close associate of Guru Govinda Maharaj and a historian and a PhD at the same time, he was deeply absorbed in studying Bhaktivinod Thakur. He would give lectures sometimes, and he would speak, and then he would sing something from this, a piece of the song, and break it down, and like a song would come out like a storm, and then some more biographical material. So he claims a whole family ancestry in Orissa, and also identified the deities of Radha Madhava being deities of Bhaktivinod Thakur, and has brought these deities many times to Vrindavan, and has now left these, since he's left the world, he's also left the deities to the Krishna Balaram Mandir, where these deities are now. So yes, there is worship of Gaura Gadadhar and worship of Radha Madhava. Okay, I'll begin there because this sort of connects then with Gadadhar Pandit and being Radharani, but being obscured and not manifesting that mood of Radharani. And that manifests when that manifests, then we're dealing with Radha Madhava. Those who are thinking in this mood of developing a relationship of Madhurya Ras with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are known as the Gauranga Nagaris, and they are counted as a apasampradaya, as a deviation of proper Siddhanta, proper philosophy. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta has in his particular karate tactic chopped that to pieces, right, completely. I mean, so we will not go there. We will now go for a moment to the Svalikita Jivan, the autobiography of Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur. After all, to hear directly from the Thakur, what is a better source of information? So, Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur, the thing about him is that he is so broad, that there's practically no topic in Gaudiya Vaishnavam that he didn't touch. Right? It's just amazing. Wherever you go somewhere, Bhaktivinod Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur was already there. So, even when it comes to autobiography, okay, there he was. He describes how the family was not really a Vaishnava family at the time, because Bengal is a place where Durga is strongly worshipped, and so the family was worshipping Durga. However, there was in the backyard, there was a fruit tree with some red Bengali fruit, right? Some sort of berry, whatever it was. And they were very sweet. But there was a problem There was a problem. The tree was haunted, and everybody knew. So if you go near that tree, there is a ghost living in this tree. But it had very sweet fruit. So as a boy, he's looking at these fruits on the tree, and they looked good, very good. But at the same time, ghost. And there was a maid, and she knew everything about them. That ghosts had red fiery eyes glowing like coal, and that their feet would not touch the ground, and all kinds of things. And she also said that if you chant the name of Ram, then no ghost can touch you. So as a kid, he went to the tree, Ram, 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 grab whatever fruits he could. And just, you know, success. Success. Never touched by that ghost. So he developed faith. He developed faith in the way, in the name of Ram. It works. The name of Ram. Oh, yes. So that's why this story is significant. Because there was a seed of his devotion to Lord Ramachandra that developed there. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was an educated young man. He was, of course, growing up in an India that was British dominated, in a sense, and at that time, the presence of British influence in Calcutta was taken as inspiring, because it wasn't just some sort of military conquest or an economical conquest that went military. No, there was also quite a cultural exchange, and in some ways, the combination between Britain and India, which it's Vedic culture, went very well, because after all, as we saw a few days ago, Britain is pretty good at protocol when it comes to all that, right? Who speaks when, how they sit, how they smile, and all like that. I'm just a simple pumpkin from the Netherlands, so what do I know about such things? So I was looking at it all from, whoa, you know. But yes, you know, it's like protocol. So the Vedic tradition, if you look at the Manu Samhita, it's also just full of protocol. You're supposed to, when you speak to the superior and you have to walk away, you cannot turn your back to the superior. So you're walking backwards and sort of like, you know, then you can turn your body about three quarters, but not more than that. And all that's described in the Vedic culture. So it's extremely, in Manu Samhita, in the Dharma Shastras, it's very complicated for a pumpkin. Yes, so, but all this is there. So in that sense, the combination of British culture and Indian culture clicked very well. And they brought this kind of Kshatriya culture, which was appreciated. And then, you know, there was Fort Williams, and Fort Williams was there was a huge settlement from Oxford in there. And they were very eager to collect manuscripts from India, which our Gopinath Acharya, who is the librarian of the Hindu faculty in Oxford, tells me there are still today many, many manuscripts in the basements of Oxford that even haven't been catalogued. There can be treasures there. There can be manuscripts there from Bhaktivinoda Thakur and all kinds of things. We hope one devotee who will go scholarly will go dig in there one day and let's see what will come out. So yes, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as an educated young man, appeared at the time in this atmosphere where there was a cultural, intellectual atmosphere of young Indians who were now interested in expressing their own culture through a modern Western approach, an academic approach, instead of just the Vedic approach, which is basically the teacher knows everything and he's going to teach you something, and you as a student just sit and just go through the process, and the teacher knows what he's doing and he's going to tell you, and you don't understand what he's doing, but it doesn't matter. In the end, you will know. You'll know everything. Whereas the Western approach for study is different. It's more like every step of the way you try to understand, well, what are we learning here and why are we learning this? And the professor is sort of explaining it, and it's a more ascending approach. You see, the Vedic is descending and you just have to have faith and receive the knowledge. And the Western is, okay, you're going to, you know, now climb the ladder of knowledge and you're going to absorb all this yourself. And then, you know, you're going to have your own interpretation of all this, and this we will crown with a PhD degree when you have become thoroughly rooted as an original thinker within the great body of knowledge. But according to the formulas as we have conceived them. Anyway, which is not so original. You know, quite stereotype, actually. Leaving the footnote out. Going then to the situation where this exchange began to happen, this cultural exchange in Bengal. Sometimes this is known as the Bengali Renaissance, right? Although Bengal didn't really go through exactly the same that the West went through, where you had like a long time, a strong church that kind of suppressed intellectual life, and then finally people broke loose from it and began to think freely and to, yeah, go back to a pre-Christian days, a bit to the Greeks and so on. And that's the Renaissance. Renaissance means rebirth, and what was reborn was that individualism. But the same thing, though, happened in Bengal. There was a sense of individualism, a sense of fresh thinking, right? Instead of just taking everything, this is tradition and this is how it is. Right? So it was a time when Bengal flourished, when the intelligentsia began to question their own tradition and began to penetrate deep into their values, teachings, and so on. And yeah, many writers, many thinkers expressed their views on many things. And in the middle of all of this, a new generation of young intellectuals, young educated people, now in the new Western system with degrees, came forward. And they were known as the Bhadralok, so the auspicious people. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is a big voice in this Bhadralok generation, amongst many others. And so is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, also a voice in the Bhadralok, also part of the Bengali Renaissance era. So just all this preface, just to understand who we're dealing with. And here he is, you know, writing a book like Bhakti Tattva Viveka, where he just gets into Western philosophy and just does a full analysis of Western philosophers, which, you know, a student of philosophy would have, you know, something to sink his teeth in, It's substantial. He knows his philosophers just inside out. Right? He knows them well. And he just puts everyone in place and enters into a dialogue with Vaishnav culture. And it's Bhakti Tattva Viveka. He is now exploring the Western philosophy in dialogue with the Vaishnav philosophy. And boom, 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 points out the credits and discredits. Jai Sri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Points out the credits and discredits of the of Western thinkers. So we see that Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was indeed an educated person who was fully conversant with modern thought, and in that sense he was a world citizen. There is a biography. There's his autobiography, Swaligita Jivan. There is another book called Hinduism in Modernity, which is getting into this Bhadralok identity of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And the interesting thing is that this book is written by an academic devotee. Give me some of that. Written by an academic devotee, and generally speaking, when the academic world is entering into biography, they are going to great lengths to try and analyze how a person belongs to a certain time. And they place him in the time and circumstances where he's from. So they'll go in depth, what was the cultural climate in which the person appeared? I have just described it, sketched it for you. And then they begin to show how this person is representing that spirit of the time. So he's doing a great job in representing how Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is very much one of this Bhadralok generation and very much a person who carries the spirit of his time. And then we can take it a step further. And then we can also see how Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is just a person who is totally beyond his time, and who's totally not part of his time at all, who is just a completely transcendental personality who is totally aloof from time, and who brings us Krishna in from so many angles, and just really brings Krishna into his time and brings us Krishna for all times, right? And how his relevance is certainly not, you know, when you define someone by a particular time, then that person also, you know, you see his glories and you see his limitations. It's like Copernicus, you know, like as an example, a great scientist in his time, absolutely brilliant and so on. But the earth was flat, right? Which then sort of has been rejected. Of course, it is making a comeback these days, especially the Hare Krishna movement. Some people in the Hare Krishna, not the Hare Krishna movement, formally, of course, but there are some who are really want to make an issue about the flat earth. And of course, Srila Prabhupada commented that, well, it's flat wherever I walk, which was a very practical, profound answer to that, right? It's like, you know, and also meant that we don't bother with such things, right? Don't waste your time. But Copernicus, although brilliant, is forever considered outdated, right? He's a flat earth man, you know? Don't take this personal. But Copernicus is not really respected. In the light of that, though, it may not be wise for us to jump on the flat earth horse and make now that a big agenda item, because immediately the world starts to look at us like lunatics, right? Although you're talking about Earth, they start thinking of the moon, you know. Yes. And we have really other agenda items, namely that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And guess what Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was talking about? Exactly that topic. Exactly that topic. Because he was an acharya. And this is the business of acharyas. Acharyas have no time to waste, you know. Although they may make some comments about the earth, but in connection with Krishna. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur connected everything with Krishna. And it's there where he's timeless and speaks to us from an eternal platform. So, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was studying law, right? He was even married at the time. So we all know when you're a student and you're married, it's not easy. Then this situation happened that in the maternal village, there was a cholera outbreak, and it just killed the whole village, practically 90% of the village. And his mother was there, so he went there. And although his grandfather, his other family members all died in that cholera outbreak, somehow or other his mother was alive. So he picked up his mother from there. And, you know, that's a very big tragedy, right? That could be also defining. You know, when you look at a biography, think, yes, okay. And then came this earth-shattering experience in his life. His whole family got wiped out by cholera, and for the rest of his life, you know. No, nothing for the rest of his life, right? It didn't seem to touch him on a deeper level at all. We don't hear about it anymore. We don't see no reflections about that. He's not talking about it. He did pick up his mother, though. And with that, he had a wife and a mother to take care of while he was studying. So that's quite complex. Then, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is the author. 100 different books on so many topics. Major ones, of course, Jiva Dharma. Jiva Dharma is a super interesting book because it's a book about 100 years after the disappearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There was a community of Vaishnavas in Navadvip, and that community is described. They were following in the footsteps of the Goswamis, so they were living, taking the Babaji Vesh, right, the dress of Babaji's, the lifestyle of Babaji's. And so there's this group, and they're living in Godrum, which happens to be the island where Bhaktivinoda Thakur is quite at home. They're living in Godrum. There is nearby the Navadvip community, which are rooted into Nyaya and into scholastic discussion, just as our Nimai Pandit used to be, and it carries on like that. And so there is this Brahmanism, smarter Brahmanism, right? More Brahminical than Brahminical. Dharma Shastra is everything. Yes, everything. So therefore, rules, yeah, a little bit of Niyamagraha, as we would analyze that, a little bit of excessive attachments to rules and regulations, and which is smarta Brahmanism has influenced India for the last millennium, So there is this cultural element in India of
not allowed.
Oof. Sorry, Panditji. Yes, it's like I was drinking water in front of the deity in like because it was 45 degrees in one temple and some Brahmin. It's like, well, it's like water, you know. Right, you know. It's okay, you know. Krishna's not so bad, you know. So have a little water. It's all right. So, yeah, Niyamagraha. Anyway, so Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes all these dynamics. Then he places the book into the Bengali culture of 100 years after Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we're going like really in the culture that's of the Bengali culture that hasn't been touched by communism, that is still very pure and so we're getting a glimpse of Bengali culture. Then on the stage of these Babaji's, many people appear. And there, you know, some Muslims appear, some Shaktas appear, right? Durga worshippers, Kali worshippers, and debates are unfolding. Then some, you know, and it's interesting. Then you see some politics and conniving and all this in the books. It's like, you know, there is this scholar, there's a Raghupati Upadhyaya, and he is quite learned, but there is one thorn in his side, and this is a certain Brajanat. And this Brajanat, he is just the greater scholar. So, but I think, so one day he goes on the banks of the river to the crematorium, and he starts on the dark moon night a ritual to the goddess by throwing the ashes into the fire and speaking mantras and invoking the goddess, and then clouds are packing up in the sky, and suddenly a cold gust of wind is blowing over the plains. Then a voice from the sky says, "My dear Raghupati Upadhyaya, the one that is the obstacle in your life soon will be no more." Bhaktivinoda Thakur has us on the edge of our seat. Whoa, what's coming? And here's Vrajanath, and he is becoming a devotee by the association of the Babaji's. What will happen to him? Will he just get destroyed by this curse? I mean, we sometimes hear devotees who say they have been cursed. An astrologer in India told them. And yes, they wear a ring and a stone and everything, and so many, and also have to do some pujas. Uh-huh. Yes. But then he got pujas. But what can you do? It's like, yeah. So what happens to Vrajanath? Vrajanath's okay. Yes, Vrajanath will be no more because he gives up this mundane scholarship and becomes a full-time devotee. Meanwhile, as he's becoming a devotee, he keeps on asking different questions about the philosophies. And in all the discussions, this is explained. In this way, this Jiva Dharma offers us a full display of the philosophy. It offers us juicy stories, politics, you know, like conniving and manipulation and dark pujas, and it's like all kinds of interesting stories. So it gives us a deep insight in the philosophy, in the culture of Bengal, the cultural setting, only 100 years after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And I mean, we can think about it. 100 years. If Lord Chaitanya left in 1533, which is what is thought, 1633. Krishnadas Kaviraj lived till 1615. So, you know, it's not far. Yeah. So it's very much the entire. It's a good point in time because all the associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have appeared, have made their contribution, and then you are getting the insight. So in this way, Jiva Dharma is a very significant book in our tradition, and the whole philosophy from beginning to end is covered in great technical detail. So we draw a lot from there. Plus, dialogue is also going on. It's like with the Muslims, there's a whole discussion about the worship of the deity form. And, you know, because they are known as iconoclasts, no form, and breaking the deities. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur gets into it. So in this way, the book is very relevant for our own spiritual life and for understanding the philosophy and for entering into dialogue. In this way, I just sampled one book now of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because you can talk the whole day just about the books of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Okay, I spoke two books, Bhakti Tattva Viveka and Jiva Dharma. Another major book is Chaitanya Sikshamrita, which is basically giving us the essential conclusions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, and very clearly in that way capturing the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Another book is a short book, the Life and Precepts of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which Srila Prabhupada as a whole just included in the introduction of the first canto of Bhagavatam. He just put it in. Right? And that book also went to the McGill University, right, in 1896, which is interesting, which was the birth year of Prabhupada. At that same year, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur sent that book to the McGill University. It's just nice, kind of foreboding what is coming. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is the pioneer of preaching in the West, not only the one who brought Krishna consciousness to the West. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he established the birth site of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He researched it for a long time. People said it was in Navadvip, didn't make sense. Some people said it was under the Ganga, because Ganga had moved. Didn't make sense. He found old maps. Eventually, he identified the place, confirmed by Srila Jagannathas Babaji, Gauravi Bhava Bhumestram Nidhisa Sajjana Priya Vaisnav Sarvaboma Jagannathaya Ti Namaha. He gave all the credit to Jagannathas Babaji, because Jagannathas Babaji, he was the acharya at the time, the great, accepted by all, Babaji. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was a householder, you know, so, you know, who's this householder, right? So, it was the Babaji who confirmed to the world. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur didn't just discover the birthplace, then he writes Navadvip Dhammahatmya. Okay, Navadvip Dhammahatmya, a book that describes the whole Dham and so on, and reveals to us how Sridharmaipur Yogapit is the center, and so on and so on. And here we are. He begins the concept of the Adbhuta Mandir, the great temple that will appear in Mayapur, which is the place of worship that will unite the world. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there he gives us that whole vision, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta filled it in with the Navadvipa Mandal Parikrama, and in this way, and Prabhupada fills it in more by, you know, like actually having the big temple constructed. And so we see how they create Mayapur as the central place of worship for all Vaishnavas of the world, with an agenda to unite all the sampradayas, to create a metta sampradaya, an umbrella sampradaya that can just absorb all others, because ultimately the teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu are the culmination of all the teachings of the previous Vaishnava acharyas. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, his son, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta, although he was initiated by Gaura Kasturi Babaji, by the arrangement, that meant second initiation. The first he actually, Harinam Diksha, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta gave to his son, Bhakti Siddhanta. So in one sense, in terms of ISKCON's, in today's understanding, actually Srila Bhaktisiddhanta would be the disciple of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because he took his Harinam there, and we say Harinam is the real connection. And then the second initiation, the what is known as the formal Diksha, that is secondary. But previously, that was established. That is essential, because that is initiation. Because it's only Srila Bhakti Siddhanta that established Harinam as very prominent in the whole process of initiation. Prior to that, you just go, initiation means you're getting Gayatri. When Mahaprabhu went for initiation, he got Gayatri. That's it. Anyway, so he gave Harinam to his son, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta. And that the connection was so strong that Srila Bhakti Siddhanta would call the deities different names, and he would always start with Vinod. Right? So many deities installed by Bhakti Siddhanta. Vinod, Bihari, Vinod. So his meditation on Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the connection between those two was just completely transparent. Yes. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta was completely the servant of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And we see the same in Srila Prabhupada, who is the servant of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Prabhupada said, how is it that this miracle happened to me? And yes, he said, I had so many god brothers that were so qualified, more learned, more so qualified. He said, but somehow or other, this miracle happened to me. I can see only one reason. It is because I 100% followed the order of my spiritual master, this is Prabhupada. So we see the line and the transparency of these three acharyas. They are one. They are one. Therefore, this is not just another day. This is not just, on the Vaishnav calendar, there is also the disappearance day of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Yeah. No, it's not at all like that. This is like a formative day. This is like an essential day. This is the day of the architect of Krishna consciousness as we know it. These three acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, Srila Prabhupada, these three acharyas are just taking this Krishna consciousness into the Western world. It is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur who gives us the vision of a lotus that is gradually opening. He makes that statement, the lotus is gradually opening. So we get this Krishna consciousness, and the acharyas are gradually opening the lotus. And as the lotus, as we see some shifts. We see like first the focus on Diksha, then Harinam, like I explained. There's a shift there. The lotus is opening. We're becoming more aware of the mercy of Mahaprabhu, the mercy of the holy name. And as we become more aware of the holy name, we turn to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, who gives us another book, Harinam Chintamani. And there it is. He goes into the Chaitanya Charitamrita, where there's a discussion between Haridas Thakur and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and others. And he just draws a whole conversation from there, which comes into Harinam Chintamani and then gives us a very deep insight in the chanting of the holy name. And he makes the statement that in this world there is only Srinam and the Jiva. Only. That's all there is. Nam and Jiva. Now think about that. That's all there is. All there is. Everything else is not. That means everything else is Maya. I'm sure our Sanskrit scholars can give you an intricate seminar on how the word Maya means is not, right? It's like, it's not. So it basically means it's not real. Only the name and the Jiva. What a statement. Whoa. That's enough to chew on for breakfast today. That's enough to just meditate. It's very hard. It's good that I forgot my phone because, you know, I would be still in the introduction, as you can see. I can't even dip into detail. If now I would have to start reading from Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then I throw off the manner schedule completely. I'm already throwing it off a little bit, stealing my 10 Swami minutes. I won't belabor the point. I think today we should read something from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. I think whether we turn to the songs where Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is glorifying Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. Kiba jayo jaya gora chande. Yeah, there he... Whether we are entering in deep meditation in the songs of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur that glorify Krishna. Vibhavari sesa alokabho vrindavan vrindavan. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given us that meditation. Or whether he gets into describing himself in the mood of a catharsis, in the mood of, I am so fallen. I am so sinful. I have wasted this human form of life. My mind is wicked, right? And now as an old man, I'm simply lamenting over the time that I have wasted. When I speak about this, I always look at someone whose hair is a little gray. Just to drive the point home, you know. So, see the Bhaktivinoda Thakur. But even if your hair is not gray yet, we're already wasting our life. We haven't wasted it yet fully, if when we're young, but we're already well on the way. We're getting ready to waste it again, another life. But here is the Acharyas. Here is Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, so absorbed in Krishna consciousness, so absorbed in his practices. Rupa Vilas Prabhu, disciple of Srila Prabhupada, wrote to Seventh Goswami, another biography worth reading with a lot of research. Like this, enough to read the songs, read the books, Read a book of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Read about Bhaktivinoda Thakur. If you just happen to, I don't have the book, download it, you know. Download it from the net, and surely you'll find it. And read it on your phone. You may as well read something else on your phone than the same old regular every day Facebook. The Facebook finger. And even if you can't resist Facebook, put things about Bhaktivinoda Thakur on there. Let all of Facebook offer obeisances to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur today. Let Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur be on our mind when you talk to your neighbor. Tell him about Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And in this way, let us celebrate the Transcendental Appearance Day, Disappearance Day of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And in this way, get the greatest blessings. I will just end, because it's 8:45. It's like, there's so much more that can be said, that is better. We don't say anything. But all I will say is, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Tirubhav Mahamahotsava Ki Jai. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur Tirubhav Mahamahotsava Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai. Vaishnav Thakur Ki Jai. Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai. Nitai Gaura Premanande. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.